Hallelujah. Get ready. Here comes God. He's touching your life right now. If you want more of Jesus, slip your hands right into the air right now. Jesus, I thank you. God, they put their hands up to you. Jesus, pour out your spirit upon all flesh like you promised in the last days. God will never be the same again. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Lord, we give you honor and praise, for you alone are truly the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There is no other gods before you. And Jesus, we bow our knees to no other God but you. In Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, amen. I don't know about you, the anointing's strong this morning. If you can't sense anything, you might want to make your way to the front next time worship starts. The presence of God is always stronger up north. I don't know why, but he is. So I don't know. I think we should crowd the front. I think you should look at the person next to you and say, you're wearing Arid Extra Dry. That means you're close. Amen? There's a passion that happens in our hearts. Some of you, yeah, I'll just say that. Some of you, one of the identifications of your sliding backwards in your relationship with God is that you no longer worship the way you used to. You couldn't wait to get to the house of God. You couldn't wait to start to worship him and praise him and love on him. And now it's a struggle even to get to church. And the way to break through in that is not hard. The devil wants you to think that's difficult, but it's not hard to get back. In fact, what the enemy tries to do is tell you you can never get back where you were. And that's a lie. You can not only get back where you were, but you can get where God's going to take you. But it means you and I have to do something. It means you and I have to change what we're doing to get a different result. And some of you need to get hungry again for Jesus. You know, when Jesus said to Peter, step out of the boat, come to me. If Peter never stepped out of the boat, he would never have walked on water, even though it was God's will for him to walk on water. If you always sit back and just watch and you've slowly digressed from your relationship with God, again, number one key, if you don't worship the way you used to, you're in sliding back. And you better grab yourself. The devil would love to have you as his trophy. There's no greater trophy for the devil than this, to get back one who was once serving God and now have them in his kingdom. So I don't know about you, man. Some of us got to get a little aggressive. Can I hear an amen? Stop being passive in your relationship with Jesus. Start getting aggressive. Well, I don't feel it. Who cares what you feel? This is not a religion about feeling and emotions. This is a relationship with God about faith and saying, I'm going to have what God's promised me, no matter what the cost. I'm going all the way with God. If you don't get that tenacity, you don't get that tenacity in your spirit, what will happen is you'll see God moving to the person next to you, right next to you, and you'll feel nothing. You'll get nothing. And I want you to know that's never God's desire. But you're going to hear this message this morning. It's a life changer. And one of the truths is you and I make our choices what we want from God. You have as much of Jesus as you want. You have as much of Jesus as you desire. The more you press in, the more you receive. How do I know that? Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Amen. I don't know how much you want, but you do. Some of you are saying, well, I'm not sure. Push in. You got nothing to lose, right? I remember one time we had a miracle service, and someone said, well, I have somebody that I want to bring. They're dying. And I said, well, bring them. And so they went back and they said, would you like to go to church with me? And they said, no, not really. And I went back and I said, go tell them they got nothing to lose. What happens if you come to church and nothing happened? Well, you just took 2 hours of your life that you'd be sitting there watching Days of Our Lives with. And God can create a new day in your life. Well, I don't know how to worship. You got nothing to lose. You got nothing to lose by coming up and lifting your hands to Jesus. No one here's going to look strange at you. And start stepping in, man. I'm telling you, God's got more for you. Don't settle for what you have. Amen? I said amen. Amen. I can't hear you. I said amen. Amen. Why don't you go welcome 5 or 6 folks that you don't know and say, Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for being in the house of God. Don't go sit down now. Go meet somebody you've never met before.
of God. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, live stream family. You are in for a treat today. It was so exciting because at first service, I came up to do the announcements, and I started to talk about the Word of God. How many of you are excited about the Word of God today? We know that it's living and active. And one of the really cool things is that I started to leave the stage with, and Pastor Rhonda said, "You just preached some of my message." And we did not talk about that beforehand. So let me tell you that that means that this is absolutely a Holy Spirit-filled word. So turn to somebody next to you and say, "Are you ready to be changed today?" Amen. You are in for a treat. So we have a few announcements that we would like to make sure that you are aware of. The first announcement is that there is a baby bottle drive that we are doing for the Southern Tier Pregnancy Resource Center. You can pick up your bottle out in the foyer, and you want to make sure that you fill it up with coins or cash or whatever you would like to put in there. And then you want to return it on June 17th, which is Father's Day. So there's plenty of time for you to do that. We would like to take a minute also to welcome our guests. Yes, are there any guests in the house this morning? If you're a guest, we're going to ask that you raise your hand nice and high. Keep it nice and high because we have some guest hosts that are bringing a gift to you right now. And directly after service, we'd like to invite you right over here to this side of the building to meet our pastors and ministers. Our heart is to build relationship with you. So we're going to invite you over for some fellowship and coffee and just a really great time of getting to know one another. Some other announcements that we have today. Water baptism is next Sunday. Oh my goodness, I'm not allowed to like take up too much time, but I could preach about the power of water baptism. Amen. It is supernatural. It is not just a public proclamation that you have accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, but if you want all the old junk to be left behind and you want to step into all the new great things God has for you, you want to get water baptized. It is powerful. We also will be honoring our veterans during the Memorial Day service. So please send in a picture of yourself in uniform. And if you don't have a picture of yourself in uniform, just send in a picture. We want to give honor where honor is due. So please make sure that you send those in. And how many of you are in a group? Raise your hand if you're in a group. If you are not in a group, you need to get in a group. The Acts Church met daily, and they stood together in fellowship and prayer, celebrating the great things that God was doing. And that's what we're called to do. That's our daily worship. So get involved with a group. Turn to somebody next to you and say, "Get in a group." I would like to invite Pastor Spencer to come up for our tithes and offerings.
Hello, Pastor. Don't you love Pastor Palko? She is a tremendous teacher, too. I don't know. How many of you have ever been in a rock-solid faith class? Woo, she's a great teacher. I'd encourage you, this is a great time for you to grow. Turn to someone and say, "You can't just get saved. You got to grow." My wife just released her new book. It says, "God Cannot Lie." Phenomenal, phenomenal book about the miracle healing from cancer. She was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, and God healed her, and God even took away the tattoo. In there will be the photographs and the doctor's reports. And if you know somebody who's struggling with cancer or sickness or disease, and the doctor hasn't given them any hope, it's a great book to sow into their life. I'd like to give that away. Who would like that book? Well, you got to come get it. I don't run. Look at the little hands. Come on now. That's good. I believe there are only 20 left, correct? There are 19 left out in the foyer. Other than that, you'll have to wait 2 weeks, or you can go order them online at Amazon.com. We just returned back from Indiana, my wife and I, and the church wanted us to say thank you for sharing. It's important for you to recognize that wherever we go, you are. I can't hear you. Say amen. Wherever my wife and I go, there you are. We were able to go, and my wife did a two-day No More Hurt, or two-session No More Hurt on Saturday. They had 98 women in the morning and in the high 80s in the evening. And then I met with the church board. We're able to speak into the church board and help their church grow. They're a church of 350, and they have a vision to grow over 500 people, and they asked if we could help them. So we were speaking into the pastor and their board's life. And then on Sunday morning, oh my goodness, the presence and the power of God was so strong on Sunday morning. And Sunday night, we had a laying on of hands service. And I don't think they've ever, well, the pastor said to me, he's never been in a service like that ever in his life. And so the anointing was just so strong. It was so cute. The pastor got up after worship and didn't know what to do with himself. He said, I'm not sure what to do. I've never experienced this before. Okay, what do I do? I said, I'll just take that from now. I'll take that. So God just moved in an awesome way. A lot of miracles. They're going to send us testimonies, and we'll share them with you of what you participated with. And it's exciting to see God move in our lives. Amen? I want to share just a quick word with you concerning giving. Turn to someone and say, I love the time of giving. Now, for those who don't, you know you don't have a revelation yet. And so we want to give that to you. You see, the Bible talks about tithes and offerings. They're God's principles, not man's principles. The Bible says, seek ye, come on, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we understand how kingdom works, it changes our giving process. You know, one day when Jesus was about to feed 5,000 people in John chapter 5, he said this. He turned to Philip and he said, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? So here are 5,000 folks. They need to be fed. They've been following Jesus. And Jesus looked at Philip and he said, where are we going to get all the stuff to feed these people? Now, I want you to see something, that many times we live in a mindset of lack. I have problems. Where am I going to get the help? I don't know what to do. Oh, my goodness, I'm struggling in my finances. How many of you have ever struggled in your finances before? Everybody else lied or lived in a very wealthy home. Fact is, we've all struggled with finances in one dimension or another. And many of us have come to this same question. Well, where are we going to get the stuff? But I love the next verse. It says this. But Jesus was testing Philip. See, the issue here wasn't where we're going to get the stuff. Jesus was testing Philip's mindset on whether he believed he was able to do abundantly above all he could ask or imagine. This is the trouble. Many times when trouble comes our way in finances, we look at it and our mind says, where am I going to get the money? Where am I going to get the help? I don't know what's going to happen. But when Jesus asked this question, he was just testing him. Because you see, when you understand how God's kingdom works, God always has more than enough. Turn to someone and say, God has more than enough. Not just did Jesus feed them with the loaves and the fishes, but after he was done, they actually picked up baskets full of leftover or excess. God is not the God of poverty. God is the God of excess. Can you imagine if we got to heaven and all the buildings were broken down? We walked on the streets of gold, but there were big cracks in it because God didn't have enough money to take care of his own streets. We all know that's foolish thinking. And I want you to recognize that your God loves you more than streets. That God loves you more than the buildings in heaven. That God loves you more than the birds that fly around and the very counting of hairs on your head. That God loves you and that there is no lack for those who walk in the principles of sowing, reaping, and of course, tithes and offerings. So I challenge you to be a tither. Well, Pastor, again, where am I going to get it? You know, where am I going to get the money? Here, watch this. Jesus needed to pay taxes one day. So he looked at Peter and he said, hey, Pete, go fishing. Peter said, well, I mean, what do you mean go fishing? He said, go fishing, and the fish you pull out of the water reach into his mouth. So Peter went out fishing and caught a fish, reached into his mouth, and guess what was there? Enough money to pay for Jesus' taxes and his taxes. I want you to know that you don't need to worry about where he's going to bring it from, but if we are walking in obedience, God makes everything happen. Can I hear an amen? And if he has to, he'll multiply the loaves and the fishes, and you'll still have excess at the end of the day. God loves to bless his children. Turn to someone and say, God loves to bless me. So if Jesus said this, where can we buy the bread to feed all these people? And he's testing you. He's asking you, well, why aren't you tithing? And he's testing you. Why? Why? Because if you truly believe who he is, then when God invades your finances, you'll always know you're blessed. There'll always be baskets at the end. Amen? I challenge you to be a tither. Turn to someone and say, I challenge you to obey God and be a tither. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. We want to welcome all the ladies and say, can you give all the ladies a hand clap this morning? We don't call this Mother's Day. We call this Women's Day. The reason we call it Woman's Day is because not all women are mothers. And then some mothers have had catastrophic loss. Some of you, your mothers aren't here any longer. And so it's a difficult day for some folks. But we can all celebrate, ladies. Can I hear an amen? And I thank God for the women that are in this room. I want to thank God for my mom. My mom's not in this service. She was in the last one. I want to thank God for my mother. My mom brought me up in the love and admonition of the Lord, as the scripture declared. And you know, I got spankings. She was a bad spanker, but I got spankings. And I got grounded, and I got in trouble. And my mom, when I remember telling her, I'm not going to church, you can't make me, she says, you eat my food, you're going to church. She threw me in the back of the station wagon. You know that's old. Threw me in the back of the station wagon, and I had to face the opposite direction. I faced out. And she drove me to church, and I would go to church, and I would serve God as best as I could. But March 13th, 1983, approximately 11:31, I made a decision that I was going to serve Jesus the rest of my life. And I've never turned back since. Now, I'm not saying I haven't struggled, but I've never turned back. I'm following Jesus all the way. And I also want to say thank God for my wife. They did. They told her, they told me, if you marry that girl, she's going to destroy your ministry. That's what they told me when I married her. And it was wrong. She's been all right. She's okay. We hated each other for the first 2 years. She says four, but I still say two. Good job, Pastor. Thank you. But you got to make it happen. Can I hear an amen? No marriage is easy. Two imperfect people coming together to become one. But she has been a phenomenal mother, and I thank God that she's raised her children up, loved her children in Jesus, laid hands on them, prayed for them, read the word to them. She's been a great mother, and now she is she's a good grandmother. How do I say that? Because she's not a great-great-grandmother. She's a good grandmother. She's a great who? Mammy, I'm sorry. That's what our grandchildren call us. I don't agree with it, but they call her Mammy. And they call me Bampy. You know that's changing. I ain't no Bampy. Amen? Some of you, your moms are not here. But I would encourage you to write your mom a letter this afternoon. And maybe write her a letter and say thank you. And, you know, I know you can't send it through eternity, but it's sometimes just good to say thank you. Some of you are estranged from your moms. You don't have a good relationship. Maybe she was not a good mom. But you know something? There's always something that she did that was good somewhere. Send her. You know, you can be that bridge, that reconciliation to you and your mom. And I'd encourage you to do that. And then I would just say, you know, some of us have spiritual moms. Make sure you shout out to them and thank them for leading you spiritually. God has somebody for you. Amen? In our house, what we do is we bring our tithes and offerings to the front. If you don't have anything to give, pull the lint out of your belly button and declare that God will bless you next week, and you'll be able to put something in. All ladies, we have a free mug for you to say thank you for being such tremendous ladies in our lives and women of God. Can you shout it out loud with me, ladies? I'm a woman of God. That's right, you're not just a lady, you're a woman of God. Father, I release blessing upon the women of God in this house in Jesus' name. I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I declare no sickness upon their bodies and upon their minds. I declare in the name of Jesus there'll be not one sin that will easily beset them, but that God, they'll stand strong and as an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Lord, I bless them this morning as those that are mothers, those that will be mothers in the future, and those, oh God, who are still, Lord, longing to be. We, Lord, just speak blessing into their lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give a shout out. I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessing shall chase me down. Trip me up, because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offerings. Come on, ladies, make sure you come and be blessed with a mug from the house of God. If you're watching by live stream, I want to encourage you today. You know, many times you watch, but you don't give. We encourage you to be a giver. Now, if that offends you, that's all right. Just turn me off. The fact is that as you receive, it's the principles of receiving and giving. There's a give button right there, and I encourage you, if this is your church, be a tither. If not, be a sower. We're believing God to do great and mighty things this year at His Tabernacle Family Church. And thank you for being part of our family wherever you are in the world. Well, I'm excited to be your pastor, and we just love being able to minister to you and encourage you and strengthen you. I would strongly encourage you to join a group if you've not done that as of yet, and you're not sure how to do that. Right out of front, it's called The Hub. If you'll make your way out to The Hub or jump right online, we'll make sure we get you connected. And they're not like sure. When you go to these groups, you're going to love them. You're going to laugh. You're going to have fun. You're going to get a little fatter. It's going to be great. Glory to God. You get to eat together and laugh together and live life together. And at His Tabernacle, we want to live life with you. Amen? I said amen. Amen. We are so honored this morning to have Pastor Rhonda Spencer with us, and she's going to be preaching the gospel of Christ. You're going to be blessed by this message. I already heard it once. I'm ready to hear it twice. Can you give her a hand clap as she comes to the pulpit?
Hallelujah. I absolutely love the Word of God. You see, today I don't come to you with philosophy of man or psychology or self-help, but with the alive and active, quick and powerful Word of God that accomplishes what it is sent to do. And the beautiful part is, it's not just me that comes to you with that. Inside of every single one of you, the Word of God is alive and active, quick and powerful, and it will accomplish what it is sent to do in you. You see, the Word of God is the will of God. Let me say that again. The Word of God is the will of God. See, it's the Old and New Testament. The Testament is a person's will. This is the will of God. And the will of God says there is absolutely no reason why he won't do it for you. Hear me, there is absolutely no reason why he won't do it for you. You've got greatness inside of you, blessing and favor that follow you. You are a head and not the tail. That is what the Word of God has to say. And in this, he has given us everything, every single one of us. You see, I don't know what people have said about you or said you can't do or you'll never make it or you're not good enough or this just isn't for you. But what the Word of God says is that he has given us, all of us, everything that we need for life and godliness. He's put his divine, unlimited power in us. He sent his word to heal you. He has set his angels to encamp all around you. It is powerful what he has for you. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture, this word, all scripture is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration, and is profitable. This profits you. It brings conviction and correction of error and restoration to obedience. It is for training in righteousness so that the people of God may be complete and proficient, outfitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, you aren't just given barely enough or here's the manual. It's just going to get you by. No, this says that you have been outfitted and thoroughly equipped. More than what you need, you are thoroughly equipped for every good work. It does not matter what it is you've been called to. You have been more than equipped for everything that comes towards you. Everything. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. There is absolutely no reason why God won't do it for you. You see, the only limitation in God is what we put on ourselves. His power is unlimited, but the only limitation is what we put on ourselves. Ephesians 1:19 says, and so you will begin to know what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing power of God in us who believe. So that means every single one that believes, you have access to the immeasurable power of God. It cannot even be measured. The unlimited power of God. The surpassing. So that's not just barely enough. And this is every single one. Not the person next to you. Not that other person. This is for you. His power in us is surpassing. Whatever is facing you, whatever seems too difficult or too hard, right here in his word, which is his will, says his power in you is surpassing whatever that thing is that's trying to hold you back, that's trying to trip you up. It's just like that surpassing is like that whoosh, 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 whoosh. That's not even like when something goes by you so fast. I think I've been in the office before when Pastor Dan shot one of those Nerf things at me, whoosh, by your head. Surpassing the power of God is whoosh by anything that is holding you back. Mark 11:23, and it says, I assure you, this is something you can be confident of. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says, that doesn't eliminate anyone. That's whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance to God's will. And the word is God's will. It shall be done. There is absolutely no reason why God won't do it for you. Amen. It's so easy to believe that it's for everybody else. So I know you're saying, but maybe it's not for me. Maybe this isn't God's will for me. Maybe it's only just for the special ones. You know, the super saved ones. It's just for them. It's for the people that are better than me. Not the ones that have messed up so many times like I have. Hear the word of the Lord right now. Ephesians 6, 7 through 9 says, there is no partiality. No partiality with God, regardless of one's earthly status. There is no partiality regardless of your earthly status. There is no reason why God won't do it for you, just like he will anyone else. He is no respecter of persons. He has no favoritism. And this, the word of the Lord says it so many times. It's like God speaking until he's blue in the face. You know how as parents you do that and you feel like you're not getting through? I feel like that's what God is doing in this. He says it so many times. He's trying to get us to really understand there is no favoritism in his kingdom. There is no reason why he will not do his will for your life. Let me read these scriptures off to you quickly. You can write them down. No favoritism. Acts 10:34. No favoritism. Romans 2:11. No favoritism. Matthew 22:16. No favoritism. Deuteronomy 10:17. No favoritism. Mark 12:14. No favoritism. Are you getting it in your spirit yet? God's saying it over and over and over again. 2 Chronicles 19:7. No favoritism. Proverbs 28:21, again, no favoritism. There's no reason God won't do it for you. No reason whatsoever. Not even that you're too young or that you're too old. Amen. You've messed up too many times. You just don't understand. The roof would cave in if I went in there. It's just such a bad time right now. It looks so bleak. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. But I've believed God for something before and it didn't really happen. Maybe you stopped just short of your miracle. Don't stop short of your miracle. Don't stop believing. He says that there's no reason. There's no reason. There's no favoritism. He thinks the same equally. He has access. He has given us. We've already read scriptures. He has given us everything that we need to be thoroughly equipped for life and godliness. He has given us his unlimited power that is surpassing anything in your life. There is nothing he will not do, and there's no reason why he won't do it for you. You know, so you've had things happen that weren't what you were believing for. Well, Lazarus, if we look at that, he was dead already for 3 days, and he stunk. Sometimes we give up. We give up on what God has for us, what God's called us to, because we believe that there's reasons why he won't use us. But we have just used the word of God to disqualify any reason that there would be that God won't do it for you. He will do it for you just like he will anybody else. Whatever your dream is, whatever your gift, whatever your goal, whatever your desire, God will do it for you. He does not have favorites. You say, well, this sin has just got me. It's just too strong and I can't conquer it. He has dedicated an entire chapter in the Bible on sin and how it has no power over you. Romans 6, 23 verses of how sin has no power. Its power has been broken and you are no longer a slave to any sin. So there is no sin that's got you stuck. Right now, I just want to send the word of the Lord to your hearing ear so that you can be set free. It says that you are no longer a slave to that sin. So I speak right now to addiction. I speak right now to bondage. I speak right now to any stronghold. I speak right now deliverance and freedom. Sin has no power over you. It has no authority. You have been set free from the power of sin in your life. 23 verses just in one chapter. You are set free. Sin, you are no longer a slave to that sin. And the devil, he is a liar. The devil is the father of lies. He doesn't just lie. He then plants emotions. Every emotion necessary to support that lie is going to show up in your life. You see, you're walking along and doing great. Everything's fine. Then he plants that seed of a lie in your brain. And then every single emotion necessary to support that lie comes and shows up in your life. Don't trust in those emotions. All of a sudden, you're feeling fear like you weren't feeling fear before. You're feeling discouragement and anxiety and pain and discouragement and dread and hurt and anger and depression from the lie of the enemy. From the lie of the enemy. He's going to make every emotion necessary. The devil is a liar and he is the father of lies. But God, this is his word and this is his will for you. God cannot lie. I hear you say, but you don't get it. The devil's just nonstop. He's nonstop in my life. You see, we make the devil way too powerful, and we make our God way too small when we say stuff like that. Because the devil, he is not even a contender. He's no longer a contender. He's already a defeated foe. He can't win in your life. He has been defeated. Let me read to you the word of the Lord, showing that there is no reason why God won't do it for you. Not even the devil, because we've given him way too much power. We made him way too big. That's just a shadow. That's just a shadow of something. It's not even, you can't even put your hands on a shadow. It just goes through it. He is not even a contender. Luke 10, 18 and 19. I love this passage. And he said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And then he goes on to say, behold, I give you authority. Every single one in this room has been given authority over all the power of the enemy. All of it, there's no reason why he won't do it for you because he has given you authority over all the power of the enemy and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is the word of the Lord. The devil is not even a contender. Stop even talking about him in your life. He's not even a player. He puts himself on the playlist and he's not even in the play. He's defeated. 1 John 4, 4 tells us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And sometimes you just got to remind yourself when he's put those emotions there, like, oh, I can't do this. Oh, this is just too big and scary. That devil, he's got me. He's so powerful. When you hear that lie in your spirit and all those emotions show up, I want you to quote the word of God, 1 John 4, 4, that says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you might have to repeat that to yourself over and over and over again. Some days it's going to be more than others. But I want to remind you that he has given you everything that you need to be successful in life. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And then listen to this. Again, the devil's not even a contender. Hear what the word of God has to say. Colossians 2:15. I love this so much. He disarmed the rulers and authorities. He disarmed your enemy. Like he took all of his weapons away. He took away their power in your life. He disarmed the enemy. Took them all away, took them apart, threw them on the ground. He is weaponless against you. He's not even a contender. You're out there fighting a battle with somebody. He's not even a contender. He doesn't even have any weaponry left. Don't give him power. Here, let's read the rest of this. It gets even better. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them. And that is what God does. When there's something coming in at you in your life, first of all, he goes and he disarms that thing that's coming against you. And then he's going to make a public display of the enemy coming in at you. I love our God. How awesome is that? Not only has he defeated him, but he is going to make a public display display of your enemy. He's going to make a public display of that thing that's been coming up against you that you haven't been able to conquer. Now he's gone forth, he's disarmed them, and he's making a public display. People will take notice that the devil is defeated in your life when a public display has been made of him. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon. You see, the devil is not even a contender. He is a defeated foe, and there is no reason why God won't do it for you. He has equipped every single one. Whoever believes, he has equipped with unlimited power to disarm the enemy and make a public spectacle of him. There is no reason God won't do it for you. But listen, we can't sit and expect to fall out, for it to fall out of the sky. If we're sitting around saying, oh, I'm just going to lay here and wait for God to show up. I'm just going to wait for God to do something in my life. That's not how it works. Pastor has the scripture for the year, and it's Mark 16:20, and it says, the Lord worked with them. And I messed up in first service, but I think it was just from God. I said, the Word worked with them. The Word worked with them, because you see, he is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word works with you. The Word works with you. We don't sit and way, the Word works with you. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, set before you today. So every one of us set before you today our life and death, blessing and cursing. And he tells us the answer. Choose life. Choose life. And he will make a way where there is no way when we choose life. But we have a responsibility in the choosing portion. You've got both set in front of you. You have the responsibility to choose which one you will walk in. And I choose to have the Lord make a way where there is no way, to move you from the tail and make you the head. Make people shake their head and wonder, because when the Lord gets a hold of that thing, he's going to make a public spectacle of the enemy of in your life. And when people look at you, they're going to say, how'd she get to be the head and not the tail? Come on now. There's no reason why God won't do it. But we limit. We're responsible to make the choices. There is power in our agreement. There's power in our agreement. Matthew 18:19 tells us, where two or more touch one thing, then it is established. Now, we love that scripture when we're praying about something. But the truth is, with whatever we're agreeing with. So we're establishing whatever we're agreeing with. You see, the devil isn't sending demons to attack you. He doesn't need to. You already agreed with him. You see, what's happening in your life might not even be the will of God. You see, the will of God is for your will to never be forced upon. He's given every single one that free will choice, and therein is our responsibility. So the will of God is for your will not to be forced upon. So he has to allow whatever we allow. He has to allow whatever we allow. And we may be allowing things that aren't even God's will in our life. We have to be careful of what we are agreeing with. Life and death, blessing and cursing. What are you agreeing with in your life? What have you agreed with that isn't life, that's actually death, that isn't blessing, that's actually cursing? Be careful of what you're agreeing with. That is not the will of God. His will, he says it, choose life. His will is that you choose life. Agree with the Word. Agree with life. Agree with what he has said for you. We need to get in agreement with the Word of God. We need to get in agreement at every step of the way with the Word of God, not what's been spoken over us, not what we've thought about ourselves. Well, I'm just not good enough. I've just messed up way too many times. I could never achieve what God has for me. That's for everybody else, but it's not for me any longer. I missed my opportunity. That's not what's for me. Don't get in agreement with those things. Get in agreement with the Word of God that tells us I am ahead and not the tail. He tells us that blessing and favor are ours. He tells us that He goes and clears the path in front of us. He makes a way. Get in agreement with the Word of God. The Word of God is the will of God, and we need to get in agreement with the will of God. Amen. And sometimes we have to do that often. I don't care how long you have been a Christian. I don't care how strong or successful of a Christian you think you are. We still, every day, have choices set before us. Life and death, blessing and cursing. And we have to choose what we are going to come in agreement with. So come in agreement that there is nothing. There is nothing that will keep God's miracle-working blessing power from your life. There is no reason why God won't do it for you. They might have told you you couldn't teach. Maybe they told you you would never graduate. Maybe they told you you'd never amount to anything. That's not the word of the Lord. We need to stop coming in agreement with that and come into agreement with the Word of God. The Word of God makes us successful. It is profitable to us. It makes us thoroughly equipped for every good work, every whatever gift it is, whatever talent that He's given you. He has thoroughly equipped you to succeed in that. It's so hard. I know it's just for the special people. No, I'm talking to you today. He has thoroughly equipped you with whatever gift He has given you to be successful. I know that the Word of God says that He's given to everyone a measure of faith, but it also says that you can increase your faith. It also says that He gives gifts and talents, but to some He gave 5 and to some He gave 2. But every single one of those have the ability to increase their talents. And there is no reason God won't do it for you. We need to get back to believing in the call and the dream that God has for our lives and start walking in it, because there's no reason God won't do it. But our choices and our limitations we put on it, and what we believe about what God says and what God's will is. When you are in this, you will know that you know that you know the will of God. The will of God is to prosper you, to give you a hope and give you a future. His will is for you to be the best in whatever area it is for your life. I don't care what it is you've been called to. He's called you and it thoroughly equipped you to be the very best. It's so awesome when we walk according to the Word of God, because He bumps us through every single level. You might be on the bottom of the list, but when we believe the Word of God, He can bump you and accelerate you right to the top of that list. They might have been waiting on that list for 2 years. God can move you right to the top when we believe and we come in agreement to the Word of God. There is nothing impossible to them that believe. No thing. We need to start believing. We need to start believing in what God's called us to. This house is full of dreams. This house is full of gifts and talents that God has placed here. There is no reason on the face of this earth or under the earth that you can't reach those gifts and those dreams, every single one. Actually, I believe you came in this church one way, and today you are going to leave a different way. I have expectation that when the word that is alive and active, that is quick and powerful, has gotten down into your spirit, it will accomplish what it is sent to do. So there is breakthrough coming to your life. There is freedom. There is deliverance. There's promotion. There's favor. He is making a way where there was no way. That's what he will do. I expect testimony from this house. I expect that I will see favor in your life this week. I expect that there's promotions, that there's blessings, that you've been overlooked for in the past, but this time you're not going to be overlooked because we're getting our agreement in the Word of God and what He has to say about us. And we're going to step up and we're going to be the body of Christ. We're going to watch Him make a public display of what the enemy tried to destroy you with. That very thing that He's trying to destroy you with, God's going to make a public display of that thing. I expect that this house is going to raise up and be the head and not the tail. Your business is going to be a business that accelerates in any season. Teacher, you're going to be the best teacher. You're going to be the best in your field. You're going to be the best employee. You're going to be the best mother. You're going to be the best spouse. You're going to be the best son and daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're going to be the best evangelist. You're going to be the best at laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. Whatever God has put in your spirit, no longer is there any reason that you can qualify that God will not do it for you. Stop putting limitations. Stop making excuses. The Word of God says that He has no favorites, no favoritism. No one is more important to God than you. Your gift, your talent, your calling, no one is more important to God than you. So let's raise up, body of Christ. Let's raise up and walk in what He has called us to, knowing there's no reason. And the devil, he is not even a contender. Amen. So what have you been allowing or that you've been agreeing with that's kept the unlimited power of God from your life? What is that dream, that desire that you've believed God won't do for you? Today, I want to come in agreement with you and the Word of God. I don't want to just come in agreement with you because I don't know what you're agreeing with. But I want to come in agreement with you and the Word of God. And if you're in this place today and you want to come in agreement with me, the Word of God says where two touch one thing, it shall be established. So today we're going to establish some things in the kingdom of God. We're going to establish breakthrough. We're going to establish freedom. We're going to establish unlimited, surpassing power of God working in you. That's going to cause people to say, what? Them? That is not possible. And that's the best. That is the best. God gets such joy and such glory when the people that have been discarded and rejected raise up to be the head. God gets all the glory in that. And I want to come into agreement with you and the Word of God regarding your dreams. And I know that I know that I know that God cannot lie, and He will do it. There is no reason why He won't. So if you're in this place this morning and you want to come, me to come in agreement with you and the Word of God, I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray a prayer over you. I believe that this word will not return void. You have heard the word of the Lord. It has gotten in your spirit. It is going before you and it is cutting brass gates. It's melting those mountains like wax in front of you. Things that have been difficult are going to become easy. Amen. No more struggle. No more struggle. It's not what God has called us to. The devil's a liar and he's defeated. So let's pray right now. We're coming into agreement. Father, in the name of Jesus, where two touch one thing, it shall be established. So right now, in the name of Jesus, establish favor, restoration, deliverance, freedom, advancement, promotion, blessing like never before. Father, in the name of Jesus, we send your word forth into the atmosphere to go before us and make a way where there's been no way. And we thank you for it. We set our agreement on your word. We set our expectation on your word. And we will not be moved from your word, which declares there is greatness inside of every single one. There is prosperity. They are thoroughly, every single one in this room is not deficient, is not in lack, is thoroughly equipped for what is put in front of them. Everything that they need right now in the name of Jesus, deposit it into their spirit, deposit it into their life. Everything that they need in the name of Jesus. We put our agreement with your word, Lord, and your precious, precious name. Amen. Before there's too much moving around, if you'll just bow your heads. I never want to go through a service without giving opportunity for you to make Jesus your best friend. If you've never accepted Jesus into your life and you don't know anything about this awesome kingdom of God, this awesome way of living, and you'd like to ask Jesus to come into your life today, I want you just to raise your hand up real quickly. Raise your hand if that's something you want to do. I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anybody else in the house? I'm not going to wait long. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm just going to have you come forward, make a bold step now, and we'll pray for you. We want to set you on this path and make you successful. Hallelujah. Jesus is awesome. Now listen, family. I want you to do something for me. God is so good. How can we help but not share how awesome he is? I want you to invite 5 people to church next week. At least 3 of them will come. I want you to go and share the goodness of God and then invite 5 people to come with you next week into the house of God where the word of God can be active, quick, and powerful in their lives too. Amen, and God bless you.
Next week, we continue the message. Don't let your yesterday destroy your tomorrow and your life today. Make sure the prayer team's around the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, we're here to minister to you, love you. They know how to pray and see God heal, set free. So if you need prayer for anything, the prayer team's around the front of the altar. We love you. Have an awesome Mother's Day. Make sure you celebrate and have a great day in Jesus.